This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, so we don't use RAS score at all. We don't have anything like that. We do have some analytic scores that our analytic people do on their own that measures, you know, athletic traits and other things. But we've never really used an RAS. I know what that is. We've never really used that in any, whether it's free agency, the draft, or anything like that. So now I've come from the Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson, you know, so like traits are very, very important to us. Testing numbers are important. And that's part of the changing world in scouting right now is, you know, these guys are really picking and choosing what they do. We don't have universal numbers across the board like we used to, which makes it tough. But there are some new technologies coming into play with GPS data and things like that that you kind of have to try to make up for it. So the traits are really important to us, but at the same time, on like a cumulative RAS score, we've never really used that at all.
Who believes him? I don't. There he is, Brian Gutekunst, general manager of the Green Bay Packers. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Our guy Andy Herman here in weekday mornings from 8 to 9 with the Pack a Day radio show. He'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings, just a mile outside of Lambeau, coming up on Thursday and Friday. Looking forward to seeing Andy. Mr. Herman, do you believe what you just heard from Brian Gutekunst?
1,000,000%. No, absolutely. Great to be talking with you, Sparky. This is always my hypothesis, is that he probably knew it existed, but never used relative athletic score. The biggest thing is that they were going after traitsy sort of players before relative athletic score even existed. Friend of the show, Kent Lee Platy, did such a great job of coming up with it. It's obviously been something that's ingrained in all of our football minds now from free agency and the draft, especially as Green Bay takes all these athletic, you know, sort of freakazoid players. But no, never really expected that they used it in any real way, but assumed at this point that he was probably aware of it.
So this is the thing for me, is you could say that you don't use it, but you very well could have then said, I don't use it, but a lot of what goes into that we do use to grade players. Because as we've known for quite some time, all these guys that are around 9 or higher, they're taking very few times. Like Bucky Irving was like a 2-3 or a 3, the running back last year. I loved him, and I knew damn right well they would never take him because that number was so low from an athletic standpoint. And they didn't. They went Marshawn Lloyd, who very well could be a stud, no question, but he was hurt last year. I'm fine with you poo-pooing the idea of I don't use that exactly, but he very well should have said after that, I don't use it, we don't use it, but we use numbers similar to it.
Yeah, I mean, he alluded to it, right, that they have analytical tools that they use that have similar sort of stuff with analytical traits in it. But also, his job is not always to necessarily answer completely truthfully either, right?
That's like, correct.
He's trying to have as much plausible deniability for what they like in players and what they like to do. So, you know, him coming out and saying, like, yeah, you know, we don't use relative athletic scores, but trust me, you know, we have our own analytical tool and we really like these traitsy sort of players. Like him saying that doesn't necessarily add, you know, anything to what he's trying to do as an NFL general manager either. So I think for the most part, he kind of alluded to they have tools at their disposal. I mean, here's the thing, right? They love their athletic, traitsy, freakazoid dude.
Yep.
So there's no question about that. This is, there's enough historical data to know now that these are the type of players that they like. Whatever formula or whatever tool or whatever just trait that they are seeing on tape, that they see, that they get to those final answers, we know they get there. RAS for us as fans, because we don't know the exact formula / tool that they're using, RAS for us is such a great tool because at the end of the day, we can see, all right, somebody's a 8 or better relative athletic score. There's a good chance that they're a Packers type player. To your point, if they're under 5, it's almost a complete no-go altogether. So it's a good tool for us, but yeah, I think that they have something. It's just not RAS.
This was something else I found interesting from Brian Gutekunst today, talking about the opportunity or possibility of trading back.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly we'd love to, whether that's where we do that and how we do that, really to be dependent on the opportunities that are there and they're not, and the players that are there, right? We're not going to pass up a really, really good player to move back unless, you know, we somehow feel we could still get that player. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'd love like to have 15 every year. I think that would be just about right. You know, I think there'll be opportunities, but at the same time, it's such an unpredictable thing. We'll see.
Pretty much every year, the backers end up with double figures in draft picks and what they accumulate throughout the 3 days. I don't expect it to be any different necessarily this year, but when we talk specifically about round one, the rumor of the Kansas City Chiefs wanting to move up to get an offensive lineman is definitely out there from Matt Miller. We talked about this last week. Do you like their chances of moving back better than you do of them moving up?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is a move back draft. Now, I think ultimately, as kind of Brian's alluding to there, you have to have two to tango. You have to have somebody else that's willing to trade with you as well. If you look at you can look at every sort of trade chart that you want to look at. If you look at historical trades that have actually happened in the NFL right around pick 23, there are trades out there that took place right around pick 23 that got you right around to pick 32. And usually you get their end of the second round pick as well. And both Philly and KC have that basically exact sort of trade capital, having picks 31 and 63 or 32 and 64 respectively, that they could move up and theoretically, based on historical trades, get to pick 23. I'm sure that is something that would be tantalizing to Brian Gutekunst to pick up another second round pick if he were able to do so, still pick at the end of the draft, still send fans home happy, maybe even be in the final pick of the night so you can, you know, kind of keep fans at the edge of their seat. I'm sure there'd be a lot of things that'd be nice about that. But again, KC or Philly, one of those teams have to kind of move up and want to be able to do something like that. Again, then you have to kind of work out the terms of the deal. And as Brian mentioned, this is going to be far more determined on A, again, if some team is willing to move up, but also B, who's there at pick 23? If there's somebody that they love, they're not going to pass on that. And I think so much of the time the board is going to dictate more of what you sort of want to do. If there's one guy left at pick 20 that's a first-round grade on your board, that's probably where you start calling up and saying, all right, how can we get up to get this guy that we have our last first-round grade on the board? If you get to pick 23 and there's four or five guys that are all equally ranked, well, then, yeah, you want to try to move down, pick up an extra pick, and still get the same guy that you're going to get if you're picking where you are, or vice versa. If all the guys are gone, you know, if all those first-round grades are gone and now you've got, you know, 10, 12 guys that are all just graded the same and with second-round grades, you know, by all means, get as far back as you can, pick up as much capital as you can. I think that's going to be the more likely scenario in this draft, just kind of how it looks on paper, is it looks like there's a lot of players that are stacked in the same realm. If that's the case, usually that's more of a trade-back sort of draft.
Last one for you, because I know you got to go. So you go to the Ted McMillan workout. You're the only general manager there. Now he poo-pooed and said, well, there might have been other ones there, but I was the only one reported to be there. Fine. Does he go thinking or gambling on the fact that he might be the guy that falls in this draft? And if he's not the guy that's going to fall in this draft, who do you think it is, Andy?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think Will Johnson could be a player that potentially falls in this draft, just not doing the testing, not having the greatest start of the season last year, not being the fastest guy in the world. I think that could be somebody, again, coming off injury. That could be a player I see maybe falling in this draft. As far as Ted goes, I think he's such an unbelievably unique player. One of the things that I've learned over the years is there is so much to be gleaned by watching a player in person. Tape is going to tell you the majority of the story, but sometimes you see somebody in person, you're just like, okay, I get it. To an extent, Quay Walker is the type of player like that, where you see him on tape, you know, Georgia, you can see some of the athleticism, and then you immediately see him in person, and you're like, oh yeah, he's super intimidating, tall, fast, physical. Like, he's everything that you look for in an NFL linebacker. I think when you have a very unique player like Ted McMillan, there's only, like he's a unicorn. He's a very unique type of wide receiver. You don't see this type of wide receiver come around often. And if you want to know for sure if, like, this is what the hype is all about, a lot of times you do kind of need to go see them in person. So I think it's interesting that they went and saw him in person. I think it's interesting that they still, after that, brought him in for a top 30 visit. Could this all be subterfuge of like, hey, we're really interested in these wide receivers? Absolutely. But if he does fall, they won't, you know, not take him due to lack of not knowing who he is as a player. They're going to have their due diligence done. And if they like him, they like him. I could see them maybe moving an aggressive move up for him if they loved him that much. But I wouldn't read too much into it saying like, well, they met with him and he went and saw him, so they like him that much. Sometimes that's just dotting the I's and crossing the T's more than anything else.
Aaron Nagler earlier today on Pack-A-Day Radio Show. If you missed it, go back, listen to it on thefanmilwaukee.com or on your Odyssey app, AUDACY. Who do you got tomorrow at 8:20?
Tomorrow, we are going to be joined by Emery Hunt. Great NFL draft
had him on last week.
Our first time. Yeah, first time chatting with him, so really excited about that. Should be a great show tomorrow. And then, you know, we've got amazing guests coming up all week. Ross Uglum is going to be on Thursday, Jacob Westendorf on Wednesday, and then Tyler Brook on Friday. So great week of guests this week.
You want to get him fired up. Ask him why Shedeur Sanders is going to fall in this draft and watch him just get out of his way and let him go for a half hour, because that will get him going.
Deal.
It always does. All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'll talk to you soon, Sparky. Have a good one.